Those of you who are just visitors here or only come infrequently to St. John's may be a little confused by what is about to follow. But just to catch you up on recent events, I've now been here at St. John's for 4 years and change, in various capacities, most recently as priest in charge. And recently I've been invited to be the rector. And the plan is, if all goes according to plan, that I will be instituted in that office sometime in the fall. So it has seemed to me a propitious moment to begin clarifying the rules under which I would like to see St. John's proceed during my time as rector. So here is a rule. Anyone who is physically disabled should not be a part of this community. After all, we don't know why they've become disabled. There may be some understandable explanation, but it might be that the devil has come into them and made them disabled. However, they have been handicapped. So the first rule I want to see us follow is no handicapped people. If they get healthy, if they no longer seem disabled in any way, then they can come. But otherwise, I think we have to say they're just too suspect. Here's another rule. No sporting events on Sunday. No softball games, no kayaking, no skiing, no hiking, no golfing, and, oh yes, of course, no watching sports events on television either, at least on Sunday. Here's another rule. No one who is not baptized should not receive communion in this church. Actually, what we may do when the fall comes is to have everyone who is not baptized leave the church at the time of the greetings in the middle of the service and go out to the parish hall so that it's just baptized people here in church. Oh, and one more thing. We're going to have a very important rule against all of us speaking to people from other churches, and especially people from other faiths. I know this might be hard, especially for those of you who live here in Newton, or if you work, you know, with those other people, but we need to protect ourselves against dangerous outside influences. Now, you may be listening to this and thinking that I have finally lost it. Okay, so those really aren't going to be the new rules of St. John's, but each one of those sort of odd ideas has in fact been a rule of the church at some point in history. And in some places, rules like those still endure. It's not that rules are bad by themselves. They serve an important purpose. They help communities very powerfully communicate what the community is and what it stands for. Rules have the function of creating boundaries, of making perimeters, telling us where the lines are that define who we are. In our day and age, we are instantly suspicious of those kinds of boundaries. We're suspicious because we're suspicious of any claims to special privilege. The simplest and maybe the silliest example that comes to mind is what our Latter-day Saints friends call the temple garments and what everyone else calls Mormon underwear. This became a momentary subject of fascination for the press during the last presidential campaign, but the simple fact is that the wearing of these garments is a part of Mormon tradition. It's something many Mormon folks do, and pretty much no one outside the community does. It is a boundary marker. It is a way of telling people in the community what it means to be in the community and what it means not to be. And we have had rules like that too. Maybe not so obvious, but just as effective. And over the past 50 years or so, we have done away with many of them. Used to be, you couldn't receive communion in this church if you'd been divorced. Used to be, you couldn't be remarried in this church if you'd been divorced. Used to be, you had to be confirmed to receive communion. Used to be you had to be baptized to receive communion. Used to be you had to be a man to get ordained. Used to be gay and lesbian people were seen as somehow unequal in the eyes of the church. Pretty much all of that has gone. And just in the space of my lifetime, and I'm not that old, we look at it from this perspective and sort of wonder why we ever held on to those ideas. But the fact is, we have made tremendous changes in giving up our rules in a very short amount of time, at least from the relative perspective of history. It is good that we have, but it can also be a little disorienting. After all, one of the reasons for the rules is that we need identity in community. We gain our sense of who we are by virtue of being a part of communities. Some folks need that so much that they seek out communities that have more rigid rules simply to have a clear sense of who they are. And when those rules are so rigid that they cut off people from the rest of society, we call those communities cults. But back here in our community, as the rules have lost their power, we've sort of had this sense of losing our identity. I often hear people say that they don't know what it means anymore to be an Episcopalian. And I even hear more often the crack that it's easy to be an Episcopalian because we don't really stand for anything or believe in anything, except maybe the church pension fund. Well, I am not so sure. In the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus takes on the power of the rules that we create in our communities. The specific rule in question is one against working on the Sabbath. Jesus heals a woman who would have been kept out of the synagogue and regarded as unclean because her physical deformity was seen, as the text tells us, as a spiritual disease and a potentially contagious one at that. So Jesus breaks two rules, really. He deals with someone he should not be dealing with at all, and he does the work of healing on a day of rest. And you know how the rest of the story goes. Jesus is challenging the idea that we should be ruled by the rules we make. As is so often the case in the stories about Jesus, and especially in the stories from the Gospel of Luke, the lesson Jesus is teaching is one about perspective, about getting the point that one of the ways we show our sinfulness is by giving the rules we make the same weight and significance as the rules God has made. And that is the point to take home from all of this. It turns out not to be true that there are no rules in the church. The upshot of all of this is not that any rules should be thrown away. The lesson is about the relationship between rules and power. Rules that we make tend to be about protecting the power and privilege of some people at the cost of other people. There are obvious examples of that, like the Jim Crow laws of decades ago. And there are less obvious examples, even some examples from which we benefit unfairly over and against others. But the rules that God makes are instead about recognizing the essential limits of our human nature and the ways in which we should live if we want to realize all that we have been made by God to be. God's rules are things like the commandments. They're rules that guide our relationships with God and with each other. They are not arbitrary. They are not unfair, and they are not unreasonable. They are written into the very code that makes us who we are. Jesus teaches us again and again that the basic rule is the rule of compassionate regard for others, one that is rooted in and grows out of an awareness of the compassionate regard God has for us. That rule trumps all of the rules that we make for ourselves, for our sense of safety in the communities that we create. And that is why living as disciples, if we get it right, will sometimes make us notorious as breakers of rules. Amen.